In this podcast, we're going to go on a molecular tour. Imagine getting on a tour bus and actually driving up to a big molecule. Today's molecule is melatonin. It's a basically the Sandman hormone, which is made by a small little gland at the base of the brain called the pineal gland, or the pineal gland, because it looks a bit like a pine cone. And at the right time, when there's no blue light, it gets the go-ahead and distributes this little sleep hormone throughout the entire body, telling everything to go to sleep. Now, you can imagine in a children's book, stomach, it's time for sleep now. Lungs, it's time for sleep. It's part of the thing, which means that when the body goes to sleep, it can successfully go to sleep all over the place. There's other uses for this, but it's a lovely little molecule to look at. And I'll tell you what I really like about it. It's the pyrrole section of it, which is a special little ring. It's a very important sort of chemical, organic chemical to know about, because it turns up in so many different places. Now, this is Peter Hill Explains, and the advantage of this is that we get to go over the names of certain chemical types, classes, as we talk about this molecule. So, talking about the molecule, it's there. Look, if I can recommend, it's best to go onto Wikipedia or some other place on the internet and actually summon up a picture of melatonin. So I'll spell it for you. It's M-E-L-A-T-O-N-I-N. Melatonin. So, yes, I recommend going over to it. If not, just listen to this podcast. And if you lose what bit sticks to what, it's not really important. It's listening to the little bits of it. Now, I suppose the very base bit in which it's all built, this molecule, there's lots of carbons, there's two nitrogens and two oxygens, and lots of hydrogens and all the other spaces to lock it all together. Now, sort of the heart of the molecule is a benzene group. So benzene is a flat molecule. It's a ring of six carbon molecules, and each carbon molecule is bounded to that ring by really 1.5 bonds. That's a bit much to do. And then on this is for a benzene, it's a flat molecule, so it's flattened, flat carbon, and then a ring, a central ring of six carbons, and an outer ring stuck on as end caps, six hydrogens. And when I say half bonds, and really it's a special thing called a pi bond. Now, this means that normally electrons are bound on the axis of the actual bond between two carbons. If you've got two carbons, the bonding is along the axis, and the electrons stick in the center. And so you've got a carbon, positive carbon nucleus, a concentration of electrons, so the nucleuses are stuck to the electrons, which are stuck to the nucleus. It's sort of like if you're building up a bead of magnets, north, south, north, south, it's best to get the north surrounded by two souths and the south surrounded by two norths. In this case, the souths are electrons, and the protons of the nuclei are positively charged. So this is how a benzene ring is made, as a flat molecule, flat pancake of six carbons with six hydrogens around the outside. But wait, there's more. Oh, we should say first that the bond, the half bond, so there's six, so it's really nine electron bonds, around nine bonds all in all. That three bonds is distributed above and below the plane of the carbons as a something called a delocalized pi bond. So if you can imagine a dumbbell of electrons floating above the carbon, and this dumbbell touches each other, it forms a ring of electrons above and a ring of electrons below to make this particular bond. Now, when we say a bond, that's two electrons. So if it's half a bond, it's actually one electron. So there's three electrons in a ring above the carbons and three electrons in a ring beneath it. And this is called a delocalized bond. So this is electrons that almost a metal. They're almost moving between atoms. But it's a special thing called a delocalized pi bond. This is the tour, and hopefully as you learn things, you'll say, oh, look, I remember that from a while ago. Now, the moving along to these rings, there's another ring. I must admit, I love rings. There's various things you can put in rings. So they don't always have to be six carbons in a ring, but in generally that's a real stable formation. You actually have four carbons and a nitrogen in a ring, and there's different things you have in a ring, and that's like benzene, but it, instead of having six, it's got four plus a nitrogen, and that forms four plus one is five. It's a pentagon, and that's sort of a bit jarring of a picture to look at when you ever see this. It's a pentagon that's sort of not as symmetric. It's hard to tile, hard to imagine. And there's a nitrogen in it, and so you can imagine that the bonding in nitrogen is a little bit different. It's got an extra charge involved in it, so it goes carbon, nitrogen, oxygen. So nitrogen's getting towards oxygen. Oxygen's got lots of electrons, nitrogen's not so many. And nitrogen typically forms three bonds, so if two bonds are involved in the forming that pentagon, it'll have one spare bond for a hydrogen. So at most, if nitrogen's inside the ring of carbons, so that's nitrogen and four carbons coming back again to the nitrogen, it's only got room for another hydrogen out the back. But then again, it can also form a delocalized pi bond. Normally, carbon is all catered for. Nitrogen has one pair of lone electrons and oxygen two bulbs at the back. If you do quantum mechanics, you'll get a picture of this. If you're still in the ball and stick mode, you'll scratch your head, but see if you can try and remember it. So imagine a ring with a jewel on it. The nitrogen's the jewel, but you can still form delocalized bonds around the outside, a little five ring, and this is, it's hard to imagine. Benzene has three electrons above and three electrons below, that's six is two bonds. The pyrene, on average, it's hard to describe it, has less. So it has two rather than three above and below. So it's smaller, and electron density is the same above and below. So if you can imagine, it's a bit like a sandwich, where if the bread is the electrons, the nitrogen and carbon, it's sort of like, I don't know, I'm trying to imagine a sort of a sausage, a bulbous sausage in a ring with a more juicy nitrogen in the way. I'm sort of getting hungry, and a bread of electron above it. So if you can imagine a pyrene as a sandwich, I think that's the best way to imagine it. And so also benzene's a sort of a standard sandwich. And in melatonin, which I promised to tell you about, the pyrrole. Now let's talk about it. So that's the five atom ring, four carbons and a nitrogen, forms a class of compounds which are the most beautiful, amazing compounds, and they're called pyrroles. And the reason they're called pyrroles, pyrotechnic means fire, and they don't cause fires or anything else like that, but back in the day when they first had sulfuric acid and they spilled it on the bench, and the benches were made of wood, the wood would go this reddy, fiery colour. And so they said, well, the compound made by, if you put sulfuric acid in and wood together, that's called a pyrrole. So it's got a name by what it looked like first, and then eventually they isolated it to find basically you've got part of this cellulose with a nitrogen locked into the cellulose. I don't know exactly how that reaction would go. Sulfuric acid, let me think of, I can't really think of it in my head. I think it would be a bit of heat given out as the sulfuric acid sucked out any remaining water from the wood. Sulfuric acid and sugar produces quite an amazing reaction. So pyrroles, really important. In fact, where the most beautiful is in the heme molecules. You get a ring of pyrroles with the little jewel nitrogens hanging on the inside. So, sort of like a four pyrroles in a ring. The rings hook together, and it can have sort of other things hanging off the end of it, and what it has hanging off it determines what type of heme molecule I've given away. And so these four nitrogens sticking in the center are sort of like ball bearings or bearings, molecular bearings on the inside, and they hold the iron, and the iron, that's iron, iron, the iron sits in the center. It's sort of like a beautiful little sort of mini trampoline. It's a beautiful thing to behold, and you can imagine that the iron can oscillate up and down inside this beautiful flat chelated cage for it. It's sort of like iron, and it's a molecular cage for it of these four pyrrole molecules, all the nitrogens rotated. So you've got these four. If you look at the heme molecule, you'll get four pyrroles, pentagon pyrroles, with the nitrogen stinging inside, and then they're four hooked together with two carbons, a carbon bond in between. So it's quite a beautiful molecule to look at. So pyrroles myself, never studied that at university. Maybe I had a dud Melbourne University course, but we tended to focus on just the benzenes and the standard things, the ketones and aldehydes. We stuck clear, we may have done an amine, but we stuck well clear of the azides, the three nitrogens, and the pyrroles, except the pyrroles are just pretty amazing molecules. But getting back to melatonin, we've got the benzene, and we stick a pyrrole into the benzene. So one side of the benzene hexagon shares a side with the pyrrole molecule. And what this means, my friends, even though people tend to draw these molecules with either, you know, occasional double bonds, or if they have models of it, they draw a little dashed line to say, look, there's a pi bond in here. The actual benzene and the pyrrole pi bonds merge. And so you basically, this is the sandwich. So you've got a big benzene sandwich next to a slightly smaller pyrrole sandwich, and the bread merges. And what we have is a little sort of figure eight shaped pi bond, and if you put the pyrrole at the top, it will be a little snowman of electrons. And this is sort of a beautiful thing in terms of, like, it's super pi bonding. You can get this chemical bond, you can get standard chemical bonds, hydrogen bonds, you can also get another type of bond called a pi bond. And this is sort of a really interesting sort of bond. And of course, this molecule is ultra flat, whereas molecules have got degrees of freedom and rotate and spin. A benzene is sort of locked together, and the pyrrole is locked together, and you've got a locked together thing. It's a really stiff little thing, and it's amazing how, you know, with the electron cloud models, when you actually see a heme molecule, the heme molecule is this ring of carbon, then a ring of nitrogen, and inside the ring of nitrogen is your little iron, which can As far as I can see, I haven't done any supercomputer calculations of it or seen any supercomputer calculations that iron, I should imagine, should be able to oscillate up and down inside those nitrogens. I can imagine that this sort of beautiful symmetric molecular potential which allows it to oscillate above and below the plane. I can see it, if it oscillates towards any of the nitrogens, it will be repelled. This is the whole thing. So your basic melatonin, the actual heart of it, is this little snowman of pyrrole. This is the sleep thing. The sleep molecule has a little snowman, a pi orbital electron snowman floating above it. In fact, two, one below and one above the plane. So there's two radicals, or not radicals, groups to stick onto this little benzene pyrrole snowman. On the base of the snowman, at one of the feet of the snowman, I love this because normally I have to tell you which my first carbon is and count it around. One of the feet is a oxygen and a carbon. So carbon, oxygen, carbon, that's all it is. So it's bound to an oxygen, and the other bond of the carbon is bound, the other bond of the oxygen is bound to another carbon, and the other four bonds of that carbon is got hydrogens on it, so it's like some methyl group. But this ROR is a ether. Is that right? It's an ether. I just have to really... Yeah, it's an ether. To an oxygen in a row. And, yeah, it's so your ethers... ether is the gas which can send you to sleep. It's ethers... Lycra is an example of ether. Delrin is a plastic, it's an ether. It depends on the number of carbons in a chain before an oxygen goes along. So if it's, say, I can't quite remember, it's this something or other wax. It's a wax-like subject. Compound, an artificial wax, carbo wax is called, that's coming to my brain, is an example of an ether that you eat. Yes, you eat carbo wax. Why would you want to eat carbo wax? Well, if you want to make something which never rots, if you had a carbo wax candle, you could eat it if it was made of carbo wax and it would never ever rot. And of course, the carbo wax is what medicines are packaged in, because they don't want the medicine getting bacteria on it and rotting, and so they make it out of carbo wax and you digest it. I don't think there's any weight gain, it sort of comes in and goes straight out of you. So you've got the snowman, it's got one this orientation, looking at it from above, if there is such a thing as above, the right-hand leg, foot of it, is this ether with an oxygen in the chain. Then on the other chain, up around on the right hand of the snowman, this is on the pyrrole. So the pyrrole doesn't have the little N at the head. It's got on the left hand, or left joint of the little pentagon, is the nitrogen. If you put a picture of this, it's much easier to see, but just sit back and listen. You've got the snowman with the delocalized pi bonds, and that's delocalized. It's got four electrons switching in around there. You can imagine any sort of field of charge will get it moving one way or the other. But on the right-hand arm, there's no head on the snowman. On the right-hand arm is a chain of carbons. So it's two carbons, a nitrogen, then a carbon with an oxygen bond. So that's, and then another carbon. So if the carbon's on the end of the chain, it's an aldehyde, it's a ketone. I don't know what the exact name for a nitrogen and oxygen, a carbon, except that's a very common molecular bond when you have an amine and a carbolic acid. That's a C O double bond and an OH, and then they bond together. So it's a very common molecular bond, but I don't know what the actual functional group of a N carbon with a double bond and then a carbon is to describe it then. And so basically your sleep drug is your little snowman with one eater leg and one arm, and that arm sways around a bit with a little bit of a two carbons, which obviously can rotate and spin, and then a nitrogen in the between two carbons, and the carbon at the end has an oxygen. And in general, you find in a chain, it's very rare. I can't really remember any chemical which is just carbon, and any chain. There's obviously the rings, but any carbon which is a chain, it's not just a carbon, nitrogen, carbon. It's usually there's an oxygen in there to suck the electrons away. And in the pyrrole, there's a nitrogen where the left hand should be in your snowman, and that's the other active thing. So looking at your melatonin as regard to your molecule, there's a lot of carbons. I'd say over 10 carbons. Two oxygens, one oxygen in your leg, your ether leg, and one carbon in your ketone carbon just upstream from your nitrogens, which is a typical protein bond. And two nitrogens, one in your pyrrole. It's a chemical that is well worth listening to and understanding about it. And one nitrogen mid-chain in your chain of carbons, and that's that configuration is a very typical configuration for a amino acid type of thing. In fact, it looks like if you had an amine and you reacted with vinegar, acetic acid, you'd get that end functional group after that is an acetic acid. So what's the benefit of this? Well, it gives you a bit of a feel for what the molecule looks like, and if you know what's stiff and what can rotate, you can imagine what's going on. And your melatonin is something which doesn't pass the blood-brain, the brain-body barrier. So that's one little, it's little sleep drug. It's got a sleep drug, endocrine gland. An endocrine gland is a gland that makes drugs. So it pushes drugs inside you. And so when the light goes out, this starts up and pushes this in. But this molecule can slip through almost any barrier. And of course, it's got to be detected by your cells and change the behavior of your cells. So how that does it, I'd be interested to do. The only thing I sort of understand how you change the behavior of a cell, I suppose you could, this could be chemical signalers of some of the proteins inside the cell. That's probably how it works. There's probably proteins which enzymes inside the cell which need the melatonin to actually set it up. So melatonin, the pre-roll is something, a molecule, it's an underrated molecule, but it's so essential, so beautiful to look at, say, when you're looking at the heme molecule. And it's just something which is underrated because people, for some reason, don't like to talk about nitrogen in chain or in a ring. I've never heard of it, except it's when it does occur, it can create some unusual geometry and unusual coordination chemistry, say with iron or magnesium or whatever it is holding it. It's one of those things, it's sort of rigid enough to actually chelate and hold an iron. When you want a cage, you don't want it all floppy around the outside, because what will happen is it will rotate and flop and lose the iron. So it may pick up the iron easily, but it will also lose it very easily. So I hope you've enjoyed this tour of melatonin. You can get back on the bus and get back to work. And again, the advantage of this is, yeah, there's appreciation of the molecule. You've got that molecule in your sight, but it's a way of just revising what benzene is, what a pyrrol is, what an ester is, and what an amino acid is. Thanks for listening. Keep on thinking, doing, and teaching science.